Well, tonight we're going to be thinking about the crucified life. What exactly is the crucified life to the believer? What exactly is the surrendered life to the believer? It's not sinless perfection, that we know. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 6, we'll see a text of scripture that's often used to examine the subject of the crucified life. In Romans chapter 6, reading at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The title of tonight's message is Bull Riders and Motorcycles in the Church. Let's pray. Father, we ask you again to bless this time together as we've been blessed already, Lord. Just coming down to the church house, what a blessing it is. We know that we're in for a blessing. We can sing your praises. We can give our tithes and offerings as an expression of our love to you. We can fellowship with one another. We can open your word. And we pray tonight as we do open it that your spirit would be our guide, our teacher, our instructor. We pray that he might take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And we ask for this blessing in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and for his sake, amen. The name or the phrase crucified life, it seems on the surface to be a contradiction. If a life truly is crucified, then it should be dead, not alive. Being dead and yet being alive is one of the paradoxes in the life of every believer. The crucified life, though, is a life of value that's far above anything in this world, any life in this world. There's no higher calling, there's no greater cause than the crucified life, which is a calling and a cause that every believer is to know and is to live. It is, as it were, the treasure of all treasures. We hear about treasure hunters in this world, but only the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ possess the true treasure, the treasure of all treasures. Over 26 years ago, shortly after my wife and I were married, we took an impromptu trip to Key West. We were actually on our way to Orlando, but we drove right by Orlando and went to Key West. And we visited a museum while we were there of a man who's been called the world's greatest treasure hunter. His name was Mel Fisher. And Fisher was originally a man from Indiana. He was a chicken farmer there. And he later moved to California, and purportedly he opened the first diving shop in that state. And in his biography, it tells of the many personal setbacks that Mr. Fisher had to endure to keep alive his long search of many years, looking for a treasure that he always knew was there. He had to endure over 100 court battles. And finally, it was the United States Supreme Court that gave him the victory that he deserved. You see, his search for treasure ended when he found the Nuestra Señora de Atocha and the Santa Margarita, Spanish ships that sank in a hurricane near Key West on September the 6th in 1622. And together, the ships, among the other cargo, had over 40 tons of silver and gold. And the value of that treasure in today's market was about $500 million. You know, Mel Fisher, every day, he was known for this unwavering insistence, today's the day. And every day his mantra was, today's the day. And he believed that. And Mel Fisher, in his search for a treasure that this world could give him, knew which day was really important for his quest for treasure. Today's the day. When his crew and his support crew might become discouraged, he didn't. He always believed that today is the day. And as impressive as finding such a treasure was, it's really less than nothing, if that can be so, compared to the treasure that as believers we discover that becomes ours, the crucified life of the faith of the Son of God. The life of Mel Fisher, the treasure hunter, who indeed did find the treasure that his heart was after, it cannot be even compared. It cannot even be compared to the crucified life. A life and a quality of living that's far above anything that you can find in this natural world. We read in Paul's epistle, the opening verses of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." There is no higher calling. There is no more just cause than the call to be partakers of a crucified life, of a risen life, of a glorified life, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a calling. This is a treasure that every believer is called to live by and forsaking all else. Paul also said in his epistle to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is, as it were, the treasure of all treasures. And again, this world has had its share of treasure hunters. Many, many more besides Mel Fisher. But only the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, has the true measure, the true treasure. Mel Fisher was born August the 21st in 1922. But when he died on December the 19th in 1998, he could not take with him not even 1 ounce of that 40 tons of silver and gold. He had to leave it all behind. The crucified life is not searching for or living for the treasures of this world, though there are so many to live for. But they're going to all very soon pass away. The crucified life is walking in the power of the heavenly treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, which is the life of Christ. Paul said in Corinthians that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. There is a valuable lesson that we can take from this legendary treasure hunter, Mel Fisher. And that is his mantra. Today's the day. Somehow, every day when he got up to seek his treasure, he believed that this was the day that the treasure would at last be found. We have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, there truly and really only is one day to discover and one day to live in the excellency of this power of the heavenly treasure in our earthen vessels. It's not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. It's not tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here. Today's the day. Mel Fisher did have that right. And as a believer, we know that in Christ, as Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of the Lord Jesus, we know as believers that in Christ are hid all the treasures. It says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Notice the word treasures, plural. And notice that word hid. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid. Are you a treasure hunter for Christ? Are you living the crucified life? Are you searching for the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Is your mantra, today is the day? Do you daily pray and meditate? Today is the day. Today is the day of discovering the excellency and the power of the life of the Lord Jesus that's been imputed unto me. Today's the day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, we read, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Paul told that to his fellow believers at Corinth. And just as Christ, as he just said in this verse, just like Christ, because when we put our faith in him, we share in his death, we share in his burial, we share in his resurrection, we share in the power of his resurrected life. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. We are weak. We are weak. But the heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels is that which we shall live by. We shall live with him by the power of God towards you. And today is the day. Today is the day. You know, the Lord Jesus told his disciples in Matthew's gospel, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Let him follow me. Come after me, number one. Number two, deny yourself. Number three, take up our cross." We have a cross to bear. And number four, follow Christ. That's the crucified life. You see, the crucified life will test our devotion to the Lord Jesus. And we need to often ask ourselves, to where and to whom is our devotion towards? Is it to Jesus Christ? Is it to him above everything and everyone in this world? Because the Lord said in Matthew chapter 10, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." The crucified life is learning. It's learning how to make Christ and nothing else and no one else the great passion of your heart, the great love and passion. It's what we are to live for. It's the reason that God has us in this world and keeps us in this world. And the crucified life will never be one that is in any way like-minded towards this world, nor the things of this world. The crucified life is forsaking all for Christ. Is that just a catchy phrase that we read in our Bibles? Or is it something that we strive for? The crucified life, forsaking all for Christ. "Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." I was reading recently from A.W. Tozer. He has a book called The Crucified Life. A.W. was Aidan Wilson Tozer. He was born in 1897. He died in many of our lifetime, 1963. A.W. Tozer once said that Christ didn't die on the cross just to save people from hell, but rather he died on the cross so that we could become one with him. Not just to save us from hell, but that we might become one with him. Having thoughts like that, That's what the definition of a crucified life is. And thoughts like that have to saturate our thinking until we know of this treasure of a surrendered and crucified life in the Word of God. To think of it like that, the crucified life is becoming one with Christ. It's the way, it's becoming one with the way that Christ lived, to becoming one with His thoughts, with His heart. Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am He and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He said, He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I do always those things that please Him. That's the crucified life. Doing always. Not when we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. Doing always those things that please not us, but Him. A.W. Tozer rightly observed, the crucified life is more than just being saved from our sins. The crucified life is more than a life of just a happy time on earth on our way to heaven. Again, Christ didn't die on the cross just to save us from hell. He died on the cross so that we might become one with Him. Not in the sweet by and by, but right here, right now, right where we live in this world, and today's the day. I want to read you the introduction by a friend of A.W. Tozer's to the crucified life. He said this, this was the introduction. A.W. Tozer saw the evangelical and fundamentalist churches of his day selling out to the world, just as the liberal churches before did. And it disturbed him greatly. It bothered him to see these churches compromising with worldly values and slipping into the murky error of liberalism. It goaded him that the gospel churches were adopting worldly measures to build up church attendance, and he saw that many church leaders were using these things to promote themselves. It was an error of what many called easy believism. We've heard of that term before, easy believism. And we're talking about, this was the perception that A.W. Tozer had of the churches when many of us were children, if we were even born. Simply put, the idea was that if you said you believed in Jesus, everything else would be all right. You didn't have to change anything because God loved you just the way you were. This kind of message stirred Dr. Tozer greatly. And that was the introduction. But it was Tozer who said this. Well, he's quoting Tozer now. If you needed entertainment to get a crowd, it was not Christian. If you needed entertainment to get a crowd, it was not Christian. That's a militant thought that this world will despise you for if you live that and communicate that. If you need entertainment to get a crowd, it is not Christian. Tozer said, quote, it is easy to go along with the crowd, but the one who is committed to living the crucified life will always lean hard into the wind of opposition and misunderstanding. How about you? How about you? When you read your Bible, when you study your Bible,
When you read the Gospels, when you read the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, can you say that he used entertainment to get a crowd? And if not, why didn't he? When we study the Acts of the Apostles and the New Testament epistles, can we deduce from what is written there by the apostles and and all their co-workers that they used entertainment to get a crowd? And if not, then why not? Turn over from Romans, just a few pages, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Reading at verse 10. For we are fools for Christ. It's an interesting word, fools. Interesting Greek word. It actually means stupid blockheads. And that is what Christians appear to be to this world. They really think Christians are stupid. We are fools for Christ's sake. Even unto this present hour where we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. I mean, really, Paul. Have you ever thought about just adding a little entertainment to your message? Think about how many more people you could preach the gospel to. Reminds me of that old familiar phrase. I've heard it before. It goes something like this: what you win them to is what you, or rather, what you win them with is what you win them to. What you win them with is what you win them to. And truth be known, tongue could never tell of all the gimmicks that have been used to boost church attendance. You know, I read just casually knew years ago, it was kind of like, to get people to come to church, somebody swallowing goldfish down at the front of the church. Somebody hiding money or prizes under the church bus seats. Riding a donkey down the church aisle on Palm Sunday. Gimmicks. But you know, most of those things don't get crowds anymore. Because once you've seen it a couple of times, you got to go to something better to get the crowds. Now a preacher might ride a hoverboard down the aisle of the church on Sunday morning. And everybody knows that he's going to do that. The pastor of Solid Rock Church in Monroe, Ohio, is also a bull rider. And if you can believe it, there is a bona fide bull riding ring built right into that church. And the pastor's wife says that church should be fun. And so at this big announced church meeting, they even had reality TV crews there. The pastor was going to ride a bull in the church named Bone Crusher. And the pastor was supposed to stay on the bull for 8 seconds. But he only stayed on for 3 seconds because Bone Crusher, that ride, lived up to his name. And after the pastor literally had to be picked up off the ground, you can see it yourself. Just Google Solid Rock Church. After he had to be picked up by multiple people off the ground, he preached his sermon. And 300 people came down to the altar, and 300 people got baptized that night. You know, I can just almost think what the... If that dear pastor would do something like, I can at least go down to the altar call. I at least have to show him my appreciation for what he did. What you win them with is what you win them to. And then there's the Christian Motorcyclists Association. Do you know that the Christian Motorcyclists Association now has 1,200 chapters in the United States? That's 1,200. And at Northeast Texas Bible Bikers Church, the pastor preaches at a pulpit that's shaped like a motorcycle, and he goes out and blesses the congregation's motorcycles. What you win them with is what you win them to. You see, the subject of the crucified life, I don't know how we can grasp it, but the subject of the crucified life is so vitally important. It's probably the most important thing to the spiritual health and growth of the church, because the spiritual life of any New Testament church isn't going to be any stronger than the spiritual life of the members. And that's why the crucified life of every believer is paramount. It's paramount. What is the crucified life? What is that? Well, it takes us back. The word crucified takes us back to the cross, to what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We read Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Is that the passion of your heart, your treasure of treasures? I am crucified with Christ, and today's the day. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. One of the paradoxes, if we're truly crucified, how can we be alive? You know, the Bible, the theme of the Bible really is about believers living in spiritual union with Christ. That's the crucified life. It's a life that's totally surrendered to following the Lord Jesus Christ. Not sinless perfection. It's not what we're saying. John said to believers, including himself, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But it is doing what Mel Fisher did. It's getting up every day and saying, I'm going to find that treasure. And today's the day. And then the following day, not being discouraged, but just today's the day that I'm going to find treasure. That's what the Christian's crucified life is about. Surrendering to following Jesus Christ. To be more like him. To think like him. To act like him. To love like him. Because we are living by the faith of the Son of God. The crucified life is having no honor
no honor to preserve except the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Psalm chapter 60 and verse 4, "Thou hast given a banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." The word banner means something to be lifted up, something to be elevated. It's a standard. And the crucified life is having no banner to wave except the banner of the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Paul said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Because that's the only way the life of the Lord Jesus will be made manifest in us. The psalmist in Psalm 44 said, through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow. You better not trust in your bow, of your ability, of my ability. I will not trust in my bow. This is a man of war. Neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and thou hast put them to shame that hated us. And then lastly, Jeremiah. Actually, the Lord, through Jeremiah, said this, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth," and this is the crucified life, "but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." I think through this message, the Lord is calling us to be, to renew our search for treasure, to be treasure hunters of the true treasures that are in this earthen vessels. And to every day, really, you think about it. Tomorrow's gone. It was here yesterday, but it's not here today. It's gone. Tomorrow's not here, but we do have today. And just like old Mel Fisher, today's the day. Today is the day to live for Christ, to search for that hidden treasure, and to live in the light of it. What a glorious message we have to this world. What a glorious blessing we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto Him. Our Father, we do thank You for this occasion to open Your Word. And Father, we know that there are many things in this world that would attract us to it. But we know that when you were in this world, you set your face as a flint. Not even the powers of the devil were going to change anything. You defeated him. And Father, it's up to us. It's our turn now to take up our cross, to follow you. And we pray, we know, Lord, we are so weak, but there is a power within this. There is a hidden treasure within us, the Lord Jesus Christ, who can enable us to gain this victory and to live a life that glorifies you. And Father, we pray that of all of our pursuits, that day by day, this might be the only pursuit in life, is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that treasure, that hidden treasure that's within us in these earthen vessels, and to let the Lord Jesus live out his life in us and through us. We pray that you'll bless this message. We pray that you'll bless this congregation. And we pray that you'll bless the days ahead, Lord, that you might put your hedge about us, that you might prosper us in spiritual things, and that you might also prosper us in a genuine love one for another. And Lord, what a glorious thing we're a part of, the local church, the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members of that body. And we pray that you might pour these blessings out upon us, not that we deserve them, Lord, but that you might be glorified. And we ask it all in our Savior's name. Amen.